Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rand Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard weekly at 12:05 p.m. every Saturday. Your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news.
It's a special edition of the Henry Rand Show this week. Most of the crew and I are down at the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami at the Knight Center. And it's a tremendous crowd. Up to 4,000 people are here. And we've spent our time here gathering interviews for you. And we've assembled them together in a special edition this week. And we'll be back with a live show next week on the 27th of January. I want to remind you about the meetup that same day at 3:30 at Mocha Joe's on Cortez Road in Bradenton, 3:30 to 5. The latest meetup of the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency meetup group. And we'll be giving you all the news that we've gathered from here in Miami and beyond and compile it all for you on the 27th with a live show. And here's the first of our interviews with a voice that regular listeners will be familiar with. We're here at the North American Bitcoin Conference with a veteran Bitcoin Conference attendee, a voice you've heard many times before on the Henry Rand Show. That, of course, Gabe Higgins, Blockspace in Tampa, founder, co-founder of multiple meetups up there, co-owner at Blockspaces. Gabe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Henry.
Yeah, so as I said, you're a veteran. I think you told me yesterday maybe that the last time you were here just 1 year ago, it just took up a small room.
Yeah, just across the hallway, just that little hallway there, maybe a couple hundred people at most.
And now we got a lower level that has a huge table and booth area with all the vendors, all the different people pitching their latest ICOs. And then we're standing outside the Knight Center, which, I don't know, holds thousands of people in there, and that's been a full house for it. Anybody that have any minimal interest is packing the house there today.
Yeah.
So what were your first thoughts when you walked in and you saw just how big it was? Did you expect it?
No. I mean, I heard that this was going to be large, but seeing the contrast, because just being here last year and knowing what the attendance was then and to now and comparing directly, it's like, it's still, I'm still trying to get my bearings on it, on how quickly the space has grown over the past year. It's incredible.
So as you came here, I mean, have you hung out in the conference center? Have you wanted to listen to every ICO? Have you spent more time down in the exhibit hall?
Yeah, no, I've spent more time in the exhibit hall because, you know, these conferences, after going to them for a couple of years, you meet a lot of people. And so I'm kind of like reconnecting with old friends that I haven't seen since the last conference and making new connections. And so really the connections... There's Luke Radowski. Making new connections is really what's a really important key point to these kinds of conferences.
Other than the growth, what's the most surprising thing here? Or more than one, if there's a couple different things that have made a big impression on you.
Just the amount of...
We have people walking by that they're saying hi to. So,
it's just been
any presentation at the conference hall that struck you?
I haven't seen that many. But you know, I heard Jeffrey Tucker. I always love listening to Jeffrey Tucker and his presentations and his view on things. He is the chief editor at the Economic Freedom Foundation.
And we're actually standing here courtesy of the Free Talk Live radio show.
Yes.
They're allowing us to share some of their space and equipment here. And I believe they'll be talking to him soon, too. And so you can check freetalklive.com out, and there'll be lots of stuff from this here, too.
Yeah.
So now, somewhere in the conference, I know, because I saw you yesterday, is your partner in blockchain. That's Rosa Shores.
Yeah.
What's she doing right now?
She's on her way.
Okay.
She hasn't made it here yet.
Yeah. Well, in Miami traffic, that can be a while.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Blockspaces?
Yeah, so we're making a lot of interesting headway with our development.
Now, you're still
doing
the soft launch.
Yeah, well, we're still technically pre-launch anything yet. We got a lot of renovations still going on in the space.
Blockspaces is Tampa Bay's blockchain incubator.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. Right.
I want to reorient.
Right. Yeah. So we are like the networking community hub and development of anything blockchain technology related, and obviously mainly has to do with a lot of cryptocurrencies. Obviously, is a huge interest, but other applications of blockchain technology as well.
You know, one of the things that I noticed in sitting in on a couple interviews here yesterday is that some of these exhibitors downstairs, I'm thinking one that was a healthcare startup,
yeah.
Some of the other ones, I just feel I have great ideas, but I can just see any of the major players in the field. Like I talked to two different healthcare startups. One wanted to handle the verification of insurance, et cetera. Another one wanted to be the app for telemedicine. But it seems to me like anytime some of these get any kind of traction, they're just going to be gobbled up by a bigger player.
Well, that's probably their hope, right? So they get acquired by a larger industry.
You see, they told me they were going to take over the world.
Yeah. We'll see. It's good, though, that people are exploring the different ways that this technology can be applied. So I think that's a good thing, ultimately, although you do have to wonder whether or not, you know, any of these projects are actually going to come to be with anything substantial. It's worth a shot.
What's coming up in the future for you, Rosa, Blockspaces? What's the next benchmark or milestone?
Well, the next benchmark is to actually open the space full-time and start hosting a lot more meetings and workshops and seminars that can help educate people on the overall space and then very particular aspects of the industry. And then once we do that, we'll take over Tampa Bay and make Tampa the blockchain capital of the world.
That's right. Today, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, the universe. And let me make sure I have the websites right. No, they can go to Facebook, Tampa Bay Bitcoiners Group. It's a good place to just get into the community.
Yes.
And then for Blockspaces itself, how do they find that?
Blockspaces.io is our website. Our brand new website just launched yesterday, just in time for the conference here. We're on Twitter. You can hit us up at Blockspaces_IO, and on Facebook, Blockspaces.
Okay. And so will we be seeing you and Rosa down in the Exhibitors Hall next year, or maybe even in Dallas in a few months?
Maybe. That's a good possibility. We're really good friends with the organizer coming to these conferences over the past couple
maybe
years.
Maybe just a Tampa Bay Bitcoin conference. I mean, We
could do that, and we're working on being at a tech conference in Tampa in March. So,
thank you for joining us, and have a great time at the conference.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, bye.
You're listening to The Henry Rain Show.
Very excited to be here today at the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami with our friend and co-panelist Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, and we have a guest that I know he's very excited to hear about and talk with, and that is Robin Lee. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Hello Gold. That website is hellogold.com. And Robin is the former CFO of the World Gold Council. He was Principal Accounting Officer for the Spider Gold Trust, CLD, the world's largest ETF, with over $24 billion in assets under management. He also worked with the Industrial and Commerce Bank of China in the Gold Savings Program. And his responsibilities are with this company is to develop relationships with third parties. And he's here doing that right now with us here on the Henry Rain Show. And Robin Lee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it was very exciting. I got a chance to sit in on an interview you did with our friends over at Free Talk Live. And let's start out just by saying what your Bitcoin and tokens does. GoldX is how we refer to it correctly.
Yes.
And how did that come to be?
Well, Gold. Well, when I was in the local council and I was working on GLD, it was an incredibly successful product, and it filled a gap that people didn't think existed just prior to Gold ETF. Most folks don't buy gold in the physical form. And by securitizing gold, suddenly it opened up access points to a whole range.
Let's take it down even to a lower level. So people that maybe aren't familiar with being able to trade, exchange traded funds on the stock market, why that was such an innovation. Because a lot of the people who are listening maybe have just gotten into Bitcoin and haven't even thought about how it relates to the stock market.
Right. So prior to the exchange traded funds, the gold exchange traded funds coming to being, the only way you can get gold was frankly you go to a bullion dealer and take time out, buy the bar, and then bring it back home. And there's a lot of friction in that process, right? If you bought a 1 gram bar, say gold's trading at $50 per gram, you end up paying $70 for something that's only worth $50. And then if you ever wanted to sell it, and it was still worth $50, you'd probably get $40. So the entire process was very expensive, not to talk about storage and insurance, et cetera.
Almost like trying to transfer $70 of Bitcoin now. It's getting
pretty
expensive,
exactly.
Too.
So when the local council came up with the ETF, it drove the cost of that transaction down to mere percentage points, right? So you could buy directly a gram of gold for $50.50. And that became incredibly powerful for a lot of folks, and that opened up the space for investors around the world, and especially in North America. I think the GLD was one of the fastest growing traded instruments on the New York Stock Exchange history. So coming back to GoldX, we're just taking that idea to the next level. If ETF enables securitization of gold, GoldX enables the digitization of gold, and it opens up an even wider audience because not everyone has a brokerage account, right? Not everyone has access to that, not even America, let alone emerging markets. So we want to give everyone the choice to buy gold, and it shouldn't be, and we fundamentally believe that the amount of money you have in your wallet and where you live should not be a barrier to entry to access good financial products.
Now, is GoldX currently being traded?
We created the product in October. We started airdropping it to our supporters that supported us in the Hull Gold token sale back in September. We launched the commercial product just this Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how do people participate now?
Well, right now, we're only offering an OTC basis. We market make, so you come to us at hullagold.org, not hullagold.com, and basically you put in your request and we'll fill it for you, primarily because we want to make sure that before we scale this thing up that the processes work. Because if you think about, if you understand how the gold ETF works, there's a lot of processes involved. Because unlike digital Bitcoin, these have real assets and real moving parts behind this. So we need to make sure that the gold exists before you buy the gold coin.
So I don't want to get in the way of Andy before the front of the line to get some of this.
Yeah.
So once he goes to hellogold.org or .com, what does he pay with? How does he do the exchange?
We accept either Ether or Bitcoin, and depending on what the prevailing price of gold is, we'll give you the spot price against Ether or Bitcoin, and we do an exchange. And when you decide to sell gold X, you can sell it back to us at the prevailing spot price at the point of sale, and we'll give you back Ether or Bitcoin.
And I know Andy has questions. Let me just ask one more thing about this. So, there's a product out there, the U.S. dollar tether.
Yes.
And, theoretically, there's a dollar behind that somewhere. And, you can move out of one of your currencies and hold it, and the dollar value supposedly will stay with the tether when you come back out. I would see this as a much more trustworthy than the tether, and plus you have the sense you're not tied to the vagaries of the individual currency.
Well, let's talk about what GoldX does and how we manage it. The processes are very similar to GLD, because that's what I work with. And so every 6 months there's an audit firm that comes in, the inspectorate, and they do 3 tests. They do a physical count of all gold bars to make sure that's accurate. They then do a sample test of the gold numbers to make sure that your record history is correct. And they do a final test, which is to test the purity of the gold. So if you have 1 kilobar, 99.99, it is what it says on a tin. And on a daily basis, we also have a customer list and a bar list, and that's and the bar list shows the numbering of the gold bar, and that's corroborated with an independent vaulter. So they should both match, and we're always over-allocated, which is really important because if you're under-allocated, it means there's leverage in play. We're over-allocated, so we always have more bars in the vault than the customers have held on in our custody.
We're speaking with Robin Lee. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Hello Gold, the website hellogold.com. Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, what do you have to say?
I just have to say, Henry, this is the best interview you set up so far throughout this whole thing. I just am very excited here to be with Robin Lee and ask him some great questions, and I'm really loving this. So right to it, Robin. So you say that you have a third party. It's a third party authentication like they do with GLD, which is the Gold Trust, and they come in and do the sampling in that. And what I definitely liked about what he said was is they actually have a reserve of surplus. Now, when you buy your gold, do you go through the normal exchange, or how does that work? Are you got to deal with Rand Gold, or do you buy directly?
Well, we just buy from the market, right? So the great thing about gold is that more often than not, there's a deep liquid market in the play. I mean, the gold market is probably the third deepest market in the world after U.S. Treasuries and Japanese government bonds. So it's highly unlikely it'll ever seize up. So you'll always be able to get in and out. But we do have circuit breaker protocols in place. If we can't get gold when people want to buy, we don't offer a trade.
Let's see. Okay. So now, when what separates you from GLD other than it's what separates you? So as an investor here in America, would I be interested in this product?
Well, I think GoldX has some very fundamental differences from GLD. And GLD is a great product. I love it. It's one of the deepest, most liquid products in the world. It works for a lot of people. What GoldX does is that you can buy for $1 or one Thai baht, Egyptian pound. You don't need to have a brokerage account. And as we roll out our products, we're also going to enable you to get loans against the gold. So the idea is that if you have $1,000 worth of GoldX and you need liquidity, instead of selling the product, you come to us or our lending partner and basically we'll lend against the gold as collateral, which is a huge benefit for our customers.
So it's more for people that don't have access to an exchange in that, because I believe what they say, 7 billion people in the world, 6 billion of them have access to a phone. So you're going after those people that have access to a phone but not necessarily a bank or a gold a gold dealer down the street or access to an exchange that they can buy another product, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to make sure that folks aren't excluded from the benefits of the financial world just because they don't have enough money in their wallet. We just think that's fundamentally unfair. So we're a financial inclusion play. The one added benefit, the one additional benefit that GoldX does is that obviously you can do physical redemption. If you have gold and instead of gold, you don't want to keep the token, you want a physical, you can come to us and we'll arrange for delivery of the physical.
Oh, that is great. So you can actually buy as a hedge, and then if you want to take delivery on it, you can take delivery. So now, what separates you from gold money? Because there is another product out there that has tried to do this. And can you explain, for our listeners, what separates you from them? Because they never,
Well, I think there are a lot of gold startups and companies out there around the world. I mean, it's a very competitive space. A lot of them typically target the mass affluent, right? And that's an incredibly competitive marketplace. And so that market segment is well served, either with brokerage houses, gold money, etc. But no one really tries to help the mass market, the underserved and the unbanked, the 98% of the world, particularly in emerging markets. So for us, we want to give them products that addresses their pain points, which is the inability to save well. So typically they're in cash with the low interest rate environment. Inflation eats away at the value of the cash. Secondly, they don't have access to good affordable financing. We can give them that. And last but not least, in emerging markets, their currencies, they don't have the benefit of a strong currency like you guys in America. So, you could earn, $1,000 every month, and then suddenly the currency devalues and $1,000 is worth $500 and you're in a ton of pain. So with gold, we hope that we can help them mitigate the risk of that happening.
Okay, so it's more of a hedge for that. Now, how would I go about buying the tokens? Or do I go on to a regular exchange? Will it be traded on the main exchanges, or is this going to be something that's done as a private?
So right now, as we roll the product, you can only get it through HelloGold.org.
Okay.
But there's HelloGold.com.
HelloGold.com is basically for the mass market. It's a very friendly field because we're targeting folks that need to have it easy. The HelloGold.org website is more
where the transaction aspect
for the crypto community. And the idea is that over the next 6 to 9 months, it will be done on an OTC basis. We market make. So we will, regardless of, you know, what happens to the GoldX price, if GoldX trades above or below spot, we'll always buy and sell at spot. By the end of this year, we hope to get to a place where we're able to be on exchange, but we want to make sure that we have a robust product and we have structured in the right way that meets the needs of our customer base.
So now, is there any additional future products that you may be coming out with?
Yeah, so we have some pretty interesting stuff in the pipeline. We're in discussions with a couple of parties to come up with a silverback token, an oil-back token. Essentially, how the goal is about creating is real asset tokens. So the goal is just to start. We have a lot of stuff to do.
All the precious metals, the other
lumber. You ever have like lumber or some of the other commodities that are traded?
Well, I think the reality is that gold is the most popular one.
Absolutely.
But we want to create a portfolio because we believe in giving choice to people. And we don't want to have product. We want to basically remove obstacles to entry for the mass market. For a lot of rich, you can get lumber commodities, pork bellies, etc., but that's not available to the man in the street. We want to create that for them so they can choose. They can choose whether they want to buy or not buy.
Absolutely.
Now, Robin Lee, Chief Executive Officer of Hello Gold, HelloGold.org and .com, if you're just tuning in now. And Andy, go ahead and follow up. I've got some questions, too. But you
okay,
go.
I have to ask you this question because you're a gold guy and you've been in the gold business. What's your outlook for gold this year in 2018?
Okay, so typically I don't give a short-term outlook because my view of gold is very simple. I think in the short run and under normal market conditions, gold is asymmetric, you know. It just has its own random walk. Gold really comes into play when, in terms of market stress, then becomes negatively correlated to most asset classes, and that's where it really kicks in. So how we explain to our mass market consumer is it's like, treat gold like house insurance. You buy house insurance all the time, and you hope to God there's a waste of money because you don't want to call on it. But when you need to call on it, you say, wow, thank God I got house insurance. So I view gold in that light. Having said that, I think that gold is set to perform well in the short run over the next 1 to 3 years, better than it's done in the last 3 years, because I think we're closer to a challenging situation.
Absolutely.
That will make 2008 look like a walk in the park.
Absolutely.
But that's my personal
view. Whoa, we're not sure that one goodbye. So, upcoming... You see, you're forecasting, or you've heard other people forecast that it would make 2008 a walk in the park. Now we get a leveling off of the yield curves, which some people say 2019 is looking like rough water up there. What exactly are you talking about?
Well, I think there are a number of issues, right? A lot of the, if you go back to 2008, a lot of it was driven by the credit crunch. And I personally believe that some of the structural issues haven't been resolved. A lot of countries have kicked the can down the road rather than tackled the hard.
Including the U.S.?
I think so, yes, absolutely. And I think that at some point will come back and bite all of us. And I think that the tricks that are within the control of the authorities are going to run out. So that's one aspect. The second aspect is that in 2008, the Asian economies kind of saved the world because they were pumping and they were driving demand. I think they're entering challenging waters. So the question is, who's going to take up the slack when the next thing happens? Because what you do know is this, is that crises will never go away. It's just a function of the market. It's just a question of when. So I think in the next one, the economies are still relatively weak, the real economy, not the financial economy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to cause significant stress. And the last thing is that there are a number of, let's call it global issues, sort of geopolitical issues at play, and any number one of these could trigger a flight to safety. And basically you have to bet that the world at large will generally walk through all these things and solve them in a safe way, and that's a huge bet.
Yep.
So let me just back up a little bit. So here in the U.S., we've seen the, at least the start, or maybe a little bit beyond the start of the end of quantitative easing, trying to unwind some of these, but just not soon enough and not fast enough. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think it's... I was at a conference a couple of years back when there was a standing government chair or a Federal Reserve, one of the Federal Reserves. And he was asked a question in an open forum, you know, what was his view on quantitative easing? And he basically said, to about a room full of about 200-300 people, I don't know, I just hope it's going to be good.
Okay. And how other sectors of the world, you talk about the growth in Asia that might be weakening in some of the Asian countries. Latest information out of China, though, it showed strong growth. I believe that's what I saw in the stories this week. Are you seeing a slowdown there, too?
So I was trained as a historian, and I believe in cycles. You know, everything has to come to a natural end. You can't have perpetual growth. No one's been able to crack that.
Well, aren't they coming out of a weaker, slowing down of their growth and accelerating again?
But the slowdown hasn't really been that slow. I mean, you don't see the natural cycle that you would have expected.
This guy's right up my alley, Henry. Cycles
So that's why I have to question him, because you're like, yes.
Well, that's why I asked him the 2018 thing, because I think this is...
I'm not smart enough to tell you it's going to be this year or next year, but I think the odds of it happening are much higher now than they were, say, 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
But you said, I think, if I can remember, you were referring to 2008. You said worse than 2008.
Yeah.
In the aspect of the financial crisis or in the aspect of the recession?
I think both, and particularly for the folks that we're trying to serve, because I think what has happened since the last crisis is that a lot of wealth has been created, but that distribution of wealth has been increasingly unequal. So the folks that are least well equipped to solve for that are more exposed now than ever before.
Well, and that's exactly what you resolve, because, you know, most of the people that do not have the ability to go and buy gold and hedge themselves for these times, you know, the dollar, depreciation in the dollar asset doesn't kill them completely. Whereas somebody that's all they're depending on is that fiat currency, they're totally at the mercy of quantitative easing and inflationary fees, and that's what you guys saw. And that is a great thing. So you're not just doing, you're just not doing something, because obviously you came from Wall Street with the spider gold and that. They're not just doing something for the people like you and me, Henry.
Right.
They're doing stuff for the people that really need it.
Audience that just tuned in and heard the gloom and doom and think we just pulled some Yahoo off the free sandwich table at the North American Bitcoin Conference. No, we're talking to Robin Lee, who is the CEO of Hello Gold. And you can check out both websites, hellogold.com, hellogold.org. And just as one factoid about Robin, to give a little credibility what you're hearing, he was the CFO of the World Gold Council with over $24 billion of assets under the management of the Spider Gold Trust, GLD. So let's move away from that. Maybe let's get back to a little happy talk. But you may rain on that parade, too, if you want. Some people have set up the analogy between physical gold and Bitcoin as digital gold. And then we also, Charlie Lee would like us to think of Litecoin as digital silver. Do you accept that analogy that Bitcoin is turning into digital gold? And since you know about gold and you may have introducing silver as a product line too, do you see a silver in the digital world developing?
Okay. Well, I'm talking about digital gold and sort of the traditional gold. I mean, I can see how people can make that link, and I can see how Bitcoin, for sake of argument, can get to that place. But a number of things need to happen to Bitcoin for it to be the new gold. First of all, it needs to start growing at 2%, 3% per annum. That's not happening just yet. It may happen sometime in the future, but until that does, it can't be the new gold.
The constructs, I mean, people are, I mean, it's widely known, you know, there's no counterparty risk.
Can Gold X become the new digital gold?
Well, it is the new digital gold.
It's the new digital gold. That's what we want it to be. I think Bitcoin can be, but it needs to do a number of things.
I'm tongue-in-cheek there. I mean, I know it is the real digital gold, but, I mean, could it be what everybody wants Bitcoin to be?
It could. I mean, we have very simple ambitions. We just want to make sure that
just
we
a
offer,
simple man.
We just want to make sure that our customers have a product that can serve their needs. And what it becomes, you know, you're not going to look. GoldX, you're not going to triple your money in 2 weeks. It's going to grow at two. If it does what it says on its head, it's going to grow at 2-3% per annum. Steady as she goes. It's basically quasi-inflation linked, and it'll save a lot of people's lives. You know, you want to make a ton of money. There's no such thing as high return, low risk. At least not as far as I know.
Yeah.
Right.
But now, would you consider, Mike, Bitcoin being more of a bond type usage because of its digital instead of
Bitcoin?
Gold, Bitcoin.
That's interesting. I've never heard anyone talk about Bitcoin as a bond. I mean, bonds typically tend to have a low yield, right? Low return. So
we're getting there anyways.
Bitcoin's getting to a low
return. Sometime in the future after it hits about a million.
Which is why, yeah, exactly. So I can see, you know, for example, what you just said, you know, if Bitcoin gets to $1 million and it starts to grow at 2%, then absolutely, it could be that. But there are a number of challenges that between where we are today and that point in the future for gold, for Bitcoin to be like that. You know, gold is accepted by central banks. You know, Bitcoin isn't. It's had a long history. Bitcoin, as good as it is, and as technically sound as it is, doesn't have a long enough financial history for pension funds to get comfortable with it.
Absolutely.
And all these things are pretty traditional investment vehicles that take time to change. Even pension funds, a lot of them don't have mandates to buy gold, right?
Yeah.
And gold's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it has. Now, GLD, they charge, I think it was like
forty basis points.
What are you going to? What is your charge for storage and doing all that? Because obviously there has to be a charge for that.
Yeah. So what we want to get down to is a comparable cost structure with GLD. But we're a startup, so we're subscale right now.
Sure.
What we're offering with GoldX right now is that you get rebates. The longer you hold GoldX with us, we'll give you rebates down to about 50 basis points. But if you're just trading it, then it's pretty expensive.
Okay.
Because we're not in the business of trading. We're a savings platform.
Yeah. So you got all the difference in the spot price and that. So, okay. That sounds good. And it's all done transparency so people know when they sign up that this is what the fees are.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
So Hello Gold is based in Malaysia. Why Malaysia?
For a number of reasons. I'm Malaysian. The cost structure is low. It has a pretty diverse population of our target market. It has Muslims, it has Chinese, Indians. So for the markets we're going to go into, they represent the bulk of the population in those countries. It's a Sharia compliant product, so we can market it into.
What makes it Sharia compliant? What was the rule that you had to figure out?
Well, I think you'll like this. The what makes it Sharia compliant is that there's no the counterparty risk in essence is reduced to as low as possible, so you need to have real-time exchange. I think you can't buy futures, etc. It has to be allocated, so you need to identify ownership. It can't be unallocated gold. Unallocated means, for your listeners, that you buy a gold product, the bank or the vehicle can lend it out, they just owe it to you. It's like the cash that you have in the bank, right? They can leverage it out. Allocated, which is what we do, it just literally sits in the vault. So if everyone were to want to exit GoldX, we can exit GoldX for them, and we'll have, because all we do is just sell the gold.
Yeah. So not like JP Morgan and Dutch Bank where they lease the gold out
exactly,
for years.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a shady business, by the way, Henry.
And what about working with the local currency then? Do you have any disadvantages doing that in Malaysia?
No, that's part and parcel of the risk management that we will have to undertake, right? Because we want to provide gold. There's no point quoting gold X in US dollars or the gold to our mass market in US dollars in Malaysia or in India or Thailand, because the folks that we're supporting don't have U.S. dollars. So we quote a local currency. Goldex, for the time being, is just Ether and BTC. As we roll out this product and as we get to understand the demand and the mechanics of it.
Well, Robin Lee, Chief Executive Officer, Hello Gold. Again, the two different websites to check out, hellogold.com and hellogold.org. What would you like to leave our audience with?
I think, you know, what we've created is a really valuable instrument for folks in the crypto community that want to sit out the ball, like 2 hours ago. Right now they have two choices, right? Tether or Cash App. We've given them a third choice, which is great because I'm all about choice.
All right. Robin Lee, thank you so much for being so generous with your time here at the North American Bitcoin Conference.
Thank you.
Like, it's a really pleasure.
Thank you.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to comb it off my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow. Some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to it every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Before we return to our interviews from the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami this past week, we want to remind you about the meetup January 27th at Mocha Joe's in Bradenton, Florida. That's the Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup, January 27th. That's a Saturday from 3:30 to 5. We'll be filling you in on all the happenings down in Miami at the Bitcoin Conference, as well as all the news and some special surprises there. So we look forward to seeing you on January 27th for the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup, Mocha Joe's, 3:30.
Well, Henry Rain Show here again at the North American Bitcoin Conference, and we're bringing you another guest interview here. From CrownCoin, Mike Slifer, and the website's crown.tech. CrownCoin is a new project. It's exciting. It's a little bit different in some of the aspects, and it's got a way of the participants control the destiny.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tell us what it is. When did it start? How did it come to be?
Well, thanks for having me. That's a great question. Basically, we're a little different. We didn't go through the ICO process. We've been on Bittrex since about 2015. It started off as a currency. We got two very good developers on board around 2015, 2016, so it really boosted the coin itself a lot. What we are now is a application platform. So the platforms run through system nodes and master nodes. We really want to get the corporate governments correct. So all the master node owners can vote on proposals. We actually shed out monthly crown to support proposals that come into the system for the applications and sort of projects that are built on top of crown. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what we do.
So this would be, for example, an alternative to Ethereum. People build applications on Ethereum. Stellar, people build applications.
Exactly, and that's probably the most common question we get, like how are you guys different from Ethereum, how are you guys different from Dash? And Ethereum, they have a great project. We all love it. They did great stuff for crypto. What we do is you can use any language to program on our platform. So you don't need to learn Solidity. You don't have to have specific programmers to program applications on our platform. And as well, you get a lot of support from the community itself. It's a much more wider range of things you can program on us. And it's not that we're Plato and you can do anything on it. It is governed by the governance model. So the node owners, and it takes about 10,000 crowns to get a master node, you also get a voting right. And those nodes then vote which projects come into life.
How many crown coins are out there?
It's about 16 million right now are out there. No pre-mine. The supply is what you get. So there's nothing being held out there. We had an astronomical growth, about 30,000% in the last year, mainly because of the guys.
And the value of
the value of the currency. All-time high was about $5 last week. Right now we're trading about $3.60.
So once you have 10,000 of those, then you're a master node and you have a vote.
And it's very easy to get a master node. You go on there, you have the coin, you can set up your node and run your node.
How many master nodes are there now?
It's about, I think the last time was about 1,100.
Can one entity have more than one?
Absolutely.
How diverse is the group that are making these decisions?
It's fairly diverse. I think the largest master node holders, they by no means have the majority. So it is quite democratic still in the way it's done. We just released as well system nodes that actually run a lot of the applications and all that. They're about 500 crown right now. And right at the moment, current difficulty level, you get about 20% per year out of those, plus depreciation of the coin. But really what makes Crown interesting is that we allow businesses that are not involved yet with blockchain to come and build technology on top of our blockchain.
For example,
an example is, let's say you would have a, there's one company right now that we're working with, they're about to launch in the next 6 months. They're putting GPS tracking devices inside watches for children. You can put it on pets as well. That's obviously very sensitive information. They want that to be stored on the blockchain, but they don't have the capability for that, so they'll come to us and build that application above Crown.
What's an example of one that's actually been deployed and is being used?
So the ones that have been deployed right now, because we're still working with them with the APIs and all this, this digital platform is still something we're rolling out. That's why we're still growing at the rate that we're growing in terms of our valuation. So we have a couple of companies that are in the process. They've submitted proposals, and they're receiving funds to develop them right now. But that's pretty much our lead project within the next 6 months.
So if I had a project I wanted to bring to you, I would actually submit the, I would submit the my proposal to you, and the Crown Democracy would vote on that, and then they would help fund my project?
Absolutely.
So that's like something that, you know, actually brings a relative value to society, where, you know, if you have a good project, and by all means you can get financing from a bank, you have an outlet to be able to finance that. I think that's a great idea.
That's a great point, and one of the projects that we just that is running right now is a project in Haiti. So we're feeding about 2,000 children in Haiti right now through Crown donations. How do we do that? We partnered up with a school down there that's in one of the worst areas, but they're doing a great job, and we're getting people to donate in Crown to the school. The school then, through partnerships that we made in Haiti, can use that Crown to buy from local suppliers in Crown rice. Very transparent. A big problem with Haiti is that a lot of people were sending U.S. dollars down there when there was an earthquake, and once it gets there, there's no more transparency. So crypto allows you to have that transparency in a developing country. So we're very proud of that, and we want to scale it up to 10,000 children by summer.
Well, that's very exciting to me, because the church I attend has a school down in Haiti.
Fantastic.
And we'll maybe off the air, we'll get a little bit deeper into the context. But it's a real-life example.
Yeah.
Say someone has a church with a school in Haiti. How do they come to you, and how do they get involved?
Very easily. We come down there. The foundation that we're working with right now is Friends of Cité Soleil. A great foundation down there. We go down there. We sit shoulder to shoulder with the people, and we set up the entire wallet structure. They can already purchase things from local Haitian suppliers, the five largest in the country. So that's all your food. That's all your supplies. All of these things that they're importing, they're already accepting crowns. So it would be very easy for a church now, for example, to accept crown donations.
What do you require from the church?
Absolutely nothing. This is for us.
You drive a hard bargain.
Listen, that's it. This is our humanitarian side of what we're trying to do. We're really trying to get crown into the unbanked markets, the markets where we can have a large impact and where transparency really matters. We're about transparency. We're not anonymous. Everything is very visible. The system is very democratic. So that really is in line with what we're trying to do. And that's a side project. So, you know,
Right. It's not the be-all and end-all for you, but it's a real-life example.
It's a real life.
So many of the interviews we do here, we get over and they're talking in technical acronyms, and the listener isn't trying to realize how it's going to change their life per se, but you're changing the life of children right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
You're changing many lives.
Yeah, that is great. It's a great experience, and we get, you know, it's a lot easier to do it that way, to go with a foundation that's doing good already, to start circulating the technology, to get the suppliers involved. So we've had great success with that, and we're just, if that model can be replicated in Brazil, that model can be replicated all over the world, as long as we close the loop of supply, donations coming in, benefits, and then the suppliers getting.
Now, what about scalability, being able to grow this? I mean, what is the capacity?
Well, right now, about 72% of all the Crown Coin is held in system nodes. So the system nodes, although they're very easy to set up, and the liquidity is not as, you can't sell it as fast as a coin, but you can sell it very easily. So we're trying to achieve a bit of a stability there with that. The scalability of this type of project with foundations in different countries, we're really pushing towards that. We made a deal with Brasiliex to be listed on their exchange just before the conference, actually.
Who?
Brasiliex. It's a small exchange, but they're growing very quickly in Brazil. It's the first fiat currency that you can trade directly to Crown, which is the reality. Why do we do that? Because we know that this model can then be done in Brazil, where suppliers in Brazil can immediately switch their coins for currency if they need to. So we're already looking at that scalability. If this model works with the foundations, to bring it into other countries.
So you kind of cross what Dash does with Ethereum.
Yeah.
So you kind of like a crossbreed of the two. Now you mentioned some Dash there. Is there anyone, are you working with Dash?
That's a great question, actually. Some guys from Dash approached us pretty early on when we were still just the currency. And they had a great vision for the coin. They really liked it, and they joined the team. So a lot of what you're seeing now stems from the vision that they had for something new, something that could be based on a platform like Ethereum, have a masternode system like Dash, and be a little bit more flexible than the both combined. We love both projects. Dash is a fantastic product. It's just that we don't have the marketing behind us, and we're growing organically because we really want to be a platform and put our apps and businesses and projects in the foreground.
So now, as far as if I was a coin holder, what is the value proposition for me for being a coin holder? Obviously, there's more than just the charity. I love that aspect.
Yeah.
I want to be involved
in
those.
To piggyback on that question, the people down, for example, in Haiti that are accepting that, the suppliers that are accepting it, why does it have a value for them?
That's a great question. So the first question is, what's the value proposition for people investing in the coin? We grew organic. We don't have an ICO structure behind us. We're really trying to grow this thing through the community itself. The marketing that we're going to be doing now, once our APIs roll out, once the platform is fully completed, that's really when a lot of our marketing is going to be coming out. Right now, we're allowing everyone to discover us, participate in what we're doing, and we want to have all these models set up, for example, foundations, the APIs, so that we have the best impact for the early adopters right now into Crown. The second question is, what's the benefit for them? We love countries with very destabilized currencies. So in Haiti, you have the gourd, which has seen tremendous inflation. The next attempt would be Venezuela. So first of all, the transparency of where is my money going as a donor is very important to us, specifically in countries like that. Very few middlemen in between. You know that you give a dollar or a crown, it goes to the rice. It doesn't go anywhere else. And then the other thing is that we would like to have suppliers bank on Crown to stabilize their currency when they're importing stuff from other countries versus switching it back and forth to gourd and losing money on that.
So the suppliers down in Haiti, they have something that they can use here?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, you know, it makes perfect sense because in a country where the currency is inflating, as a supplier, I would rather be in something that is, you know, deflating than inflating or increasing in value.
Yeah.
So,
especially when it comes to your inventory.
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Mike Schleifer from Crown Coin. The website is crown.tech, and we're really fascinated by how this is. Now, from the competition side of it, we mentioned some of the other potential competitors. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in the marketplace 2, 3, 5 years from now?
That's a fantastic question. I think that we would love to be in a position where we can offer blockchain technology to a wide variety of clients or businesses that are maybe thinking about getting into the space, are already with some ideas in the space, but just don't have the capacity for blockchain. We would love to be a platform where projects are developed that might just be seeding right now. You might have the idea, you might come to us with a proposal, and we help you grow into the space. I think that's where we see ourselves in a couple of years.
Is it a niche of that aspect of blockchain in that it's for people that want the democratic aspect of it, that as opposed to, say, the Ethereum developers who want to be the be-all and end-all of everything?
Yeah, yeah. And again, depending on how much regulation is coming into the space, and if you ask in a couple of years ahead, we don't know that. So we're taking the route of full transparency. We want to be fully compliant with everything. We don't have these dark corners that maybe some other platforms could have, where you don't really know what the business does, and it's just not visible. So we want to be extremely visible. We want to be extremely compliant, and we want to have that democratic voting system to give the value back to everyone that's investing into masternodes and system nodes.
So they're almost like a reverse ICO, where they already have the coins, they already have the money, and they're funding you to do an app or something. I mean, that's almost brilliant. It's almost the entire, you know, they're helping you get rich and not you helping them get rich. I like that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, Mike Schleifer, what do you want to leave our audience with?
Enjoy cryptocurrency. Investigate the companies that you're investing into. There's a lot of great stuff in the space. I believe we're still in the beginning of everything. We hope that Crown will be part of it. We hope that you'll join us on Crown. Stay tuned on what's coming next. We have a couple of important announcements coming out in the next couple of weeks. I already told you guys about the APIs and all that. So just take a look at everything, look at the space, and enjoy cryptocurrency.
That's Crown Digital Token, crown.tech. And we thank Mike Schleifer for spending time with us today. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for having me on.
Government, power corrupts